Welcome to The Thriving Marriage, the podcast for those who want to get their spouse back in love with them and truly thrive.
You'll learn why 95% of people don't save their marriage and the secret method no one else is talking about that will change everything for you. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Let's turn tragedy to triumph.
Here are your hosts, international marriage experts, Mark Johnston and Heather Choate.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to our podcast, the High Thrive Coaching Podcast here, podcast number 32. Today's topic is self-love, respect, and confidence. We're going to talk a lot about what that means and what it takes. If this is all about maintaining that self-respect while in the middle of a marriage crisis, and admittedly, that can sometimes be really hard. I mean, what if they are having an affair and refuse to stop? What if they claim you're being controlling, but you are the one that feels controlled? What happens if you try to set some boundaries and that simply pushes your partner further away? Well, I want to talk about all that today here in the podcast. But before we get to that, we're going to discuss our client win of the week. So in these client wins, I go into our Facebook group and I look to see what you guys have posted. And I try to find, you know, some really good wins. Now, of course, with all these, I do try to change names just to maintain some amount of anonymity, just out of respect. So this week's win is from, we'll call her Kristen. So Kristen's husband has recently left the other woman. And even though there's a lot of problems going along the way, the other woman has caused some problems as he's left, and it's caused some problems at his work. Sounds like Kristen and her husband have really been working hard and making sure that this is completely final. So they work towards blocking the other woman out of their life in any way that they possibly can. And they're working together now. Now, the reason why I bring this up is it does relate quite a bit to that self-respect. Now, as I read the description of what Kristen and her husband had been doing to put that affair aside, it sounds a lot very familiar with some of the suggestions that I've made. In terms of ending an affair and making sure that everything is in place to be able to recover. I imagine at some point Kristen probably had to set some boundaries, had to speak up for herself, had to make sure that, things just didn't continue on as they were. Without those sort of steps, Kristen probably wouldn't have been able to see the wins that she did have. So, I mean, congratulations, Kristen. I know it's not all just you. I know you and your husband are working together on this, but, you know, I do want to congratulate you on having such a great win. It's these sort of moments where you and your husband are working together against, with some common goals in mind that can really be very growing moments, very connecting times in your marriage. So, on to our topic for today, all about self-respect, self-confidence, love for self. So when I'm referring to respect, I am specifically meaning consideration for one's thoughts, feelings, and choices. Oftentimes we are looking at this in terms of, respect towards others or from others. But, you know, this is a discussion about respect towards self today. And the thing is, it's really easy to lose self-respect in a deeply committed relationship. A lot of times we justify sacrifices all the time for the good of the family or the good of children. So maybe you're working very long hours, or maybe you clean up after each other's messes. Maybe you take care of certain chores that the other person doesn't want to take care of. Maybe you are finding yourself that you sacrifice a lot of your wants and needs for the sake of the relationship. And the thing is, this is fine. Many of these things are expected, and we accept some sacrifice within a marriage, especially because mostly we expect those around us to work towards bringing their relationship back into balance. You know, I'm just fine making sacrifices for my marriage because I know my wife cares about me. She'll recognize those efforts and she'll want to repay things in kind. And even, you know, within healthy relationships, we can accept even long-term sacrifice for the good of the relationship because we value that relationship highly. But when efforts are taken for granted, it can be really easy to lose respect from others and for yourself. That's the problem that I run into is that, you know, for the most part, most relationships start off with a lot of respect. We want to really consider our partner because we want to impress them. We want to attract them. But at some point, if there is a lack of respect in the relationship, we either lose that appreciation or that value for ourselves, or others lose it towards us, you know, if we're talking about self-respect. The thing is, respect is a fundamental foundation for a healthy marriage. You kind of have to have it. You know, I'm thinking of different theories here in terms of relationship health. You know, thinking of Chloe Madonis, who has her theory on 6 basic emotional needs. One of those basic emotional needs is the need for feeling valued or respected or considered. Chloe Madonis, what she says was when these needs aren't met, people tend to scramble. They tend to not do well. They tend to they might lash out or desperately find some way to meet those needs. And certainly that can cause some problems in a marriage. John Gottman also talks about this in a roundabout way. His very famous theory on the 4 causes of divorce, or the 4 horsemen of divorce, 3 of them heavily involve respect. It's about 3 of those 4 horsemen are criticism, contempt, and defensiveness. I would even say the last one, stonewalling, is a little bit, involves a lack of respect as well. But conversely, if we take the opposite of those 4 horsemen, if we were to say, okay, there's a lot of appreciation, or there's a lot of cherishing within this relationship, there's a lot of openness or willingness to listen. Those traits, the opposite of the things that cause a divorce, they all involve high amounts of consideration and respect for another person. A lot of times when we discuss respect, though, we are referring to respect from others or respect towards others. And a large influence, though, on whether we receive respect from others depends on how well you respect yourself. And I generally find that those unwilling to stand up for themselves or respect themselves rarely command a lot of respect in a general sense from other people. I do know a lot of people who try to gain that respect. They say, if I work hard enough, if I do everything well, if I make enough sacrifices, then other people will pay me back, other people will respect me. But that's not always the case. And in many situations, it depends highly on how much respect we demand from others, how much we respect ourselves, if we are going to get that respect from other people. You know, a lot of times we talk about how well you, say, consider the value and feelings and opinions of your partner, but how much are you considering your own feelings? Are you simply allowing pain to continue to pile on, say, as maybe your partner continues an affair, or as they continue to take action that really causes damage to the family, as they continue to shut down your voice? We talk about how you should talk to and treat your partner in ways that you'd want to be treated. That's a very common adage, very common thought. But do you actually talk about yourself kindly? Are you confident about yourself? Are you do you praise yourself? Are you proud of yourself? Or do you simply take it as you just take it as your husband or wife whittle you down, even though you know you've done better? My wife and I, we had a really funny interaction the other week. I came downstairs, you know, since I work from home, I came downstairs to talk to my wife, and I was just feeling really happy that day. And I said, you know what? I turned to Jen. I said, you know what, Jen? You have such a catch of a husband. That's what I told her. I said, you know, I'm doing all these things right here. You must be awfully special to deserve a husband like me. And we both kind of smiled at that. And then we took a moment. We thought about it. We're like, oh, that's kind of an odd thing to say, but not bad. It's okay to be proud of yourself and to call out some of your accomplishments. And this was a moment where I was really respecting myself and respecting the things that I'd done, respecting what I contribute into the marriage. And it was good. My wife acknowledged it and I acknowledged her contributions. It was a really good moment. But I do meet with clients all the time whose spouses make claims that they've never felt loved or never felt support, while at the same time being utterly confused because my client knows that they've given everything to the marriage. They know that they've sacrificed. They know that they've tried really hard to make the other person happy. And if you're not confident in yourself or respecting of yourself, it can be very easy to let those kind of comments slide and go on and for it to cause trouble within the relationship. A lot of this, though, you know, ends up being about balance, because if I consistently came down all the time talking to my wife about how great I am, it would eventually rub the wrong way. It just wouldn't feel right. If I consistently just sacrificed and gave in and didn't you know, take anything for myself within the relationship, because I felt like I kept giving and giving and giving, that also wouldn't be healthy. It wouldn't be a good thing. And so, when I'm thinking about respect, I think a lot about that balance. Balancing that self-respect and confidence with consideration for others. In that example that I gave just a moment ago, even as I was praising myself, in kind of an amusing roundabout way, I was praising my wife too. I said, you know, you must be such an amazing woman to be with someone like me. I had to say to her, and we laughed at that because I'm not normally... I don't normally boast. That's not a normal, normally how I am. But even within a comment like that, it was a compliment for myself, a compliment for her. But it's not even just, this isn't the only thing that it's about. It's not just about compliments and whatnot. We're talking about respect. It's about, like I said, it's about that confidence. It's about that confidence for yourself. Asking for what you need, making sure that you're standing up for what you need while having that consideration for others. And I do think that maintaining respect, even self-respect within a marriage, even helping your partner to maintain respect for themselves, it's all about boundaries. It's all about setting boundaries and respecting boundaries. If you're not getting the respect that you need in a marriage, I will say that it is a direct result of you not setting the boundaries that are needed for you to feel healthy. 100%. That's your responsibility. This goes the same for your partner. If they are feeling controlled, if they're feeling possibly disrespected, it's because that they themselves, they are not keeping their responsibility to set appropriate boundaries. Ideally, it's your responsibility to work with those boundaries to help your partner get what they need and vice versa. But yeah, a lack of respect is a problem with boundaries. I'm thinking of situations where people are giving too much. My wife is the kind of person that gives and gives and gives and sometimes feels some resentment later on. Well, she and I talk, and we talk about how she needs to speak up for herself. She needs to set that boundary when it has felt like too much, so that other people know that they need to offer some support, and that they know that she's ready to stop giving. Conversely, one of my pet peeves is if I'm interrupted, if I'm trying to say something and people speak over me. I know that it's my responsibility to speak up in the marriage, because sometimes my wife does not notice. She gets excited about a topic and she'll just kind of bowl over other people in the conversation. And so I know that it's my responsibility to speak up to her and say, hey, I'm feeling a bit frustrated and you're speaking over me, and I'd like you to stop. The thing is, many people don't know how to set healthy boundaries. They don't know how to set them. They don't know how to support them and other people. I do think that for there to be healthy boundaries, and for you to get that respect, you do need these healthy boundaries. There needs to be several things about them for them to be effective. I do think that, first and foremost, there needs to be clear expectations and a reason why, an expression of why this is important to you. This is to clarify things, because I hear so many times people say, yeah, I'm trying to say something. I'm trying to speak up for myself. I'm trying to set boundaries. And when I get right into it, they're really dancing around the subject. They're not really actually talking about it directly. And so quite often there can be a misunderstanding about how important that subject is to them. Honestly, I see this all the time. A spouse leaving, a spouse who said that they have tried working on things, only to be, the people that I'm working with to say, I never knew that this was such a big deal. So yeah, we do need those clear expectations and that expression of how important this is to you. There needs to be some understanding for the other person, some consideration for them and their ability to choose. Have to maintain that. If you go about setting a boundary that really restricts the choices of someone else, well, what that is, it's not setting a boundary, that is you being controlling. For instance, an example of something like this, if I disagreed with my wife about some parenting choices, it's certainly within my right to set some boundaries on that. But if I then, prevent my wife from parenting the way that she wants to parent, that is removing choices from her ability to choose, her ability to express herself. And it's not quite, an appropriate boundary if I am removing choices, removing my wife's ability to choose things. Quite often, this means, if it comes to a head, it simply means that, you guys might have to disagree on something and you might have to, go through some consequences, and that's okay. But you do have to maintain the other person's ability to make a choice. Some way to get around that, or to get around the difficulties with that, is to offer many, many healthy alternatives, things that take into consideration what your spouse wants while addressing your own concerns. In the example of that difference in parenting, for instance, my wife and I are struggling with sleep training our children. I think that we should kick the kids out of our bed, and my wife wants to let it happen a little bit more naturally. If I'm going to press on my point of view and set this boundary, then I need to give some consideration for my wife and why she might want to let them transition out of the our marital bedroom on their own a little bit easier. The consideration is that my wife really is, you know, she's tired. She's tired from taking care of the kids. She wants things to be easy. And so I need to have some consideration for that. An alternative that doesn't just press my choice down her throat and allows her to actually get what she's looking for. And we have discussed this. We have come to some good alternatives. But if it came right down to it, healthy boundaries also involve consequences. If you have certain expectations and it is vitally important to you, self-respect is going to involve there being consequences if you are not able to get what you need out of the relationship. So this goes for things like parenting. It goes for things like fidelity within a relationship. It goes for things like respect. And consequences don't just mean leaving the relationship. Consequences help us, you know, if you're doing it right, consequences help us to move to a healthier state, or, you know, just really help us move to a better position here. They help us demonstrate how important an issue is to us. So, in fact, a large amount of couples struggle with a marriage crisis because one partner hasn't adequately expressed the importance of certain matters through consequences. I see time and time again, you know, where they, you know, someone comes to me with problems about an affair and they say to me, well, I can't really put any boundaries in. I can't tell my partner what to do because if I do that, then they'll leave. And what you're really saying is this must not be important enough to you. That this, that you do not respect yourself enough to follow through with what you say is important. And I will say in those circumstances that without those consequences, you are doing yourself a disservice and will not get the changes that you're looking for. So what makes appropriate consequences then, if that's such an important part? You know, if you're aiming to have that self-respect, if you're aiming to be able to get what you're looking for out of the relationship, how do you go about that in such a way that's not controlling, it's not pushy, it's not vengeful, it's not spiteful? I want you to ask yourself some questions when you're considering a consequence. You need to ask yourself, is what I am considering bringing me to a healthier state? Because, you know, something like, you know, my partner is being unfaithful, and so I'm going to dump all their clothes out into the street and set fire to their car. Well, that's certainly a severe consequence, but is it really bringing you to a healthier spot? Probably not. Is the consequence designed to, is it designed to protect you, not designed to control or change your spouse? If you were saying, you know, as a consequence of, once again, we'll keep going back to affairs and fidelity. If you're saying, well, you've cheated on me, and so now you can't go out with your friends anymore. You know, that's a situation where it is, I think, crossing that line in about being controlling and trying to change your spouse. If you say, well, you've smoked, you keep smoking or you keep drinking, now I'm going to... You have to stop that, and I'm not letting you do that anymore. Well, that consequence is specifically being controlling, and it's not taking into consideration their choice. Is the consequence very deliberate, and it's not made in an impulsive moment or set in anger? Is it as natural as possible? Like, does it actually relate to the problem? And actually, you know, is what there is your consequence that you're setting a direct result of what they're doing? You know, a very natural consequence, say, of disrespect might be that you pull away from a conversation, that you walk away from them, that you don't engage in with your partner anymore. It's a very natural consequence. You can say, look, I'm not going to talk to you if I feel disrespected. This is what a normal person does. If you want to come back to the conversation with respect, I would be more than happy to talk with you. We see, we have this natural sort of consequence. Is the consequence appropriately severe? Infidelity, for instance, is a very severe problem, and the consequence should be equally severe and require work to repair. We have run a workshop all about affairs and how to repair those, and it does take some work. It takes some effort to come back to that. It's not just a claim of, you have to trust me and everything's good then. No. Conversely, raising your voice might not be severe, depending on the circumstance, might not require a severe consequence. Like if your partner raises their voice at you, might not need a severe consequence depending on the circumstance. And maybe a less severe consequence may be appropriate. Like once again, leaving the conversation or not involving your spouse in a certain decision if they're raising their voice at you. The consequence should be enforceable. If you can't control the consequence, then it's simply you attempting to be controlling. If you are telling your partner, once again, like you can't smoke anymore, or you can't drink anymore, and you have no ability to be by them 100% of the time, and you can't enforce that, well, it's not going to be a really adequate or enforceable consequence. Does the consequence preserve your spouse's freedom? Because they still have to have some choice. And is it respectful of their role as a spouse? So for instance, taking away their ability to see their children if they wish would not be appropriate. Unless it's, their behavior is directly related to, some sort of poor treatment of the children. So all in all, what I'm getting at here is boundaries don't have to be terrible things. They don't have to be punishing things. Boundaries are very much tied to respect within a relationship and are absolutely appropriate in many cases. Now, I will say that many people are not going to react well to boundaries, especially if they're not used to it. But that is part of bringing the relationship to a healthier state. It's about building up that healthy foundation again. So, of course, there's a lot more to say about self-respect, about boundaries, about all these things. This is just kind of the broad overview. Of course, if you are having trouble setting boundaries or having self-respect within your marriage, please let us know. We would love to see what we can do to help you and help get around that. So with that said, I think we are going to move on to our marriage Mythbusters, because I was thinking about this myth, especially considering this topic of the week. I know a lot of people who are reluctant to set boundaries or reluctant to stand up for themselves because of this particular myth, the myth that arguments, disagreements, and fights are bad things. And I'm going to say that they're not. I actually see it as a bit of a red flag within this business. If a couple has no arguments, no disagreements, no fights, it's a huge red flag, because what it usually means to me is that, someone is feeling like they can't express their voice. The thing is, you and your spouse are not the same person, and in the absence of disagreements, there is a strong likelihood that one partner is pushing their opinion down, possibly feeling unable to say what they really want to say. I do think that actually that having disagreements, even fights at times, can be a way to maintain the health of the relationship. The thing is, they have to be arguments and fights that are healthy. These type of interactions with a husband and wife, they only really become damaging if they frequently include any of the four horsemen of divorce: that criticism, that contempt, that defensiveness, or stonewalling. Or if there is really no ability or attempt to repair the emotional damage after arguments. But if you are actually able to have disagreements and arguments, absent of that criticism or contempt, the defensiveness or stonewalling, and, you know, as long as you are able to walk away from them feeling validated, feeling heard, feeling as though any damage is acknowledged and considered and repaired, then these are healthy interactions that you can have with your spouse. My wife and I, we have arguments, we have disagreements. And I think one of our big strengths here is that we always take time, even within these arguments, to consider what the other person has to say. And that even, you know, if our emotions get the best of us and we do end up getting angry or upset and lash out, Jen and I are always very quick to come back to that situation, apologize and repair it. And because of that, you know, we have a very open dialogue between us. We're always able to express our concerns and our needs without really any fear that it's going to be shut down or it's going to turn into a really negative, nasty situation. So I will hear couples say things like that. They're like, oh, we get into too many arguments, or, oh, it's, you know, I don't want to start an argument. And really what they're saying is, I don't want to start those unhealthy arguments, because there is a very healthy side to disagreements and arguments within a marriage. And that is part of having respect for yourself in a relationship, speaking up and sometimes disagreeing with what your partner has to say. So that is the marriage myth of today. Once again, if you are at all struggling with marriage problems, a marriage crisis of some sort, or even if you just want some help growing closer together or getting over some small problems, I would love to help you. Here at High Thrive Coaching, we do tend to focus a bit on that crisis sort of situation. That is our specialty, but I absolutely love working with people who are not in dire straits. It's just it's a relief to me. I actually really enjoy that kind of work quite a bit. So whether you are barely hurting and just wanting a tune-up, or you're at the brink of divorce, let us know. We would love to help you with any of your marriage problems or needs. So once again, this was High Thrive Coaching, our podcast number 32. Thank you all for listening, and hope you all come back next week.
Thanks for listening to The Thriving Marriage, your A to Z blueprint for not just surviving marriage, but thriving. Until next time, my friends, thrive on.